On today's Question of Faith, what does bullying, gun violence, the Middle East, and Issue 1 have in common? Hey everybody, this is Question of Faith. I am Mike Hayes. I'm the Young Adult Ministry Director in the Diocese of Cleveland.
And I'm Father Damian Ferentz, the Vicar for Evangelization.
Hi everyone, I'm Mary Von Karlowitz. I'm the Director for the Office for Human Life for the Diocese of Cleveland.
Mary's back, always good.
Great to have you, Mary.
Great to be back again.
And so, Mary, you're the Director of the Office of Human Life. So that means
yes.
A whole bunch of things, right?
It does. So many people put it into a little pocket corner and think they know what human life means, but I'm just here to share with you that it actually means absolutely everything from conception to natural death. We're talking about walking with people through their entire life's journey, human trafficking, death penalty, you name it, it probably falls under the aegis of human life.
And especially this week, it's important as we head toward Election Day. I voted yesterday, by the way. Help me out with this. Do you guys vote early?
No way.
Really? Why?
I like the energy of going in and...
Interesting.
Yeah. And where I voted Our Lady of Mount Carmel in Wycliffe, which is right by the seminary. And the lines are never very long, but there's just some energy getting in there on voting day. I don't know.
Interesting. Because I'm always like, if you could vote early, why wouldn't you? You know, it's like I could fit it into my schedule. I can go when I want. I can, you know.
I don't know.
Did it take me a long time to decide the issues? Not really. You know, like I knew who I was going to vote for, so I just go and do it. And it was, I don't know. That's just me. I don't know. Do you vote early or do you vote on election day also, Mary?
You know, I tried voting early, but it's just not the same. Like Father Damian says, I am charged with energy when I see people. Plus, I love all these people that think they remember me and having conversations with so many people. In line, like you said, lines aren't very long at all, rather short, but it just feels so good to be with the people doing what all of us are required or asked to do.
Yeah, I think it's the energy and the people that I like. It's getting to an event when there's a bunch of people there, and I as an extrovert, I appreciate it.
There were a lot of people at the Board of Elections yesterday. I was surprised.
Really?
Yeah, like I parked my car and
down here.
Yeah, exactly. Right off of Euclid there. Yeah, and I walked in. I think my wife said that when she went in ahead of me, and she said while I was parking, and so she said that when she went in, there was like three or four people ahead of her, and when I went in, there were two people. But all of the like little private booths where you're filling out your ballot, those were all pretty much full. I had to wait for one of those for a couple seconds.
Well, I don't think our listeners know this, but I'm moving downtown from the seminary to the cathedral in January, so maybe I'll vote. Maybe that is my voting place. I don't even know where I vote yet, but I'll find that out soon.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that Bishop Mlesek says and says often is that violence in the womb is related to violence in the streets.
Amen.
And that speaks to the question that we had this day, and we've got issue one coming up. So what exactly is that connection, Mary? You're the director of the Office of Human Life. Violence in the womb leads to violence in the streets, is related to bullying, is related to our situation in the Middle East. What does all that mean?
Do you know, it's a topic that we don't talk about often enough, but it's so true. If there is violence in the womb, we're talking about an infant in the womb, an unborn child who might undergo abortion from the mother's choice or whatever it is. We're talking about a whole culture of violence that begins way back from conception and translates into if it's acceptable to dispose of, to get rid of, to make life easier here. Not always the case, but most often it is because it's an emergent situation. It teaches most of us that, you know what, the rest of the culture will follow suit. We see it in the way we talk with, work with, deal with our students, our co-workers, the people we meet on the street. A total disregard for the sanctity of human life, which is what I want so much for people to understand that the Office for Human Life actually does promote, is seeing the face of Christ in every person that they meet. It is preserving the sanctity of human life in every person. When you stop doing that all the way back in the womb, you see it translated into violence. Gun violence, we see that on a regular basis. I just talked to someone who had a relative in Maine whose daughter called the dad and said, "Dad, I'm just letting you know, I didn't die today."
Hmm.
How is that that our children, our youth, our young adults live in a culture and environment where that's just become the norm? So we have to go back and see where we can affect change, where we can make a difference, how we can make a difference.
So Pope John Paul II used to call it a culture of death. Pope Francis likes to use the term a throwaway culture, that things that don't matter to you, you just throw away, you dispose of them. And
right.
So the ones who are most weak, the ones who are most vulnerable, the ones who cause us a problem or are irritating, we solve those problems by destroying those people or bullying those people, however.
Or
it
at
is.
The very least, ignoring them. You know, I always say, who's too hard for us to love? You know, the poor, we can put them out in a little small secluded section of the city and we don't have to bother with them now. The elderly, we could lock away and make sure we don't see them because, you know, they require more of our care.
We seem to have a solution for everything. I love that Dorothy Day said that I love Jesus as much as I love the person that I love the least.
Right.
So how much do we love Jesus in our culture? I used to admire the Gen Z, and I still do for so many reasons, but it was because they seemed to be able to dispose of, that they weren't materialistic, they minimalized everything. But then all of a sudden I thought, wow, it fits so well into the disposable throwaway culture. There is no need, so get rid of it. It's not generalizing, but it's just saying that there's generations upon generations that have built up the thought process that when I'm done with it, I can throw it out. We talk about recycling. We talk about our human earth that we are so responsible for. And we get focused very much on certain opportunities, certain callings about recycling. But yet we forget about recycling human people. Somehow, somewhere along the way, the message got diluted, lost, transposed. We forgot that the human nature, the human people, the human being is part of our great earth, and we need to do something about it.
So let's talk about this issue one with this context of throwaway culture and respecting the dignity of every life, especially the most vulnerable here, particularly the womb. So tell us a little bit about this issue, if people don't know anything about it.
Sure. I'm sure by now almost all of you have heard one way or the other about this issue. Heard it so much that you probably tuned out. That's sad to say, actually, because there's so much information that's going out there that's misinformation. And I just want to share with you that this upcoming amendment matters so much because it is the most extreme proposed amendment that would enshrine abortion into the Constitution in Ohio for a limitless amount of time. It will be so hard once it's part of the Constitution to actually eradicate it. But it goes too far. The amendment goes too far. It really does rescind parental rights. You know, when you talk about verbiage and legalese and all of that, so much of us just read a statement and we take it in and take it to heart and take it at face value. But it is so engineered, the amendment, that there's so much allowed and allotted for. It's not going to say it will happen, but it will allow for different interpretations of many deplorable and actually far-fetching, far-reaching occasions. It will allow for, not that it will happen, up to full term of birth, late term of birth, when actually the fetus actually feels pain. By 15 weeks, they start to feel pain. So you could only imagine if the opportunity presents itself. We're talking about women's health and the doctor, and it could be an abortion doctor, most likely it would be, that would ask the woman if she is mentally stable, emotionally capable of going through. These are just scenarios, but they're not far from the truth. It can happen. People said it doesn't. It actually has happened and it can be documented.
Mary, I was reading the law the other day. Isn't it like making the term viability a little more subjective now, like where the doctor would decide when viability actually is on a case-by-case basis? That's
this
what I was reading.
True. And you are so right in that interpretation of it. Again, it wasn't written explicitly in the law. It's what's implied in the amendment itself, and it is the doctor. At that point in time, I know we've heard from the pro-choice side that a woman has a right to make her own decisions. I just listened to actually a phenomenal debate between both sides, and the pro-choice side kept insisting that the decisions are between a woman and her doctor, and that the court should stay out of it, politics should stay out of it. So sad. That's not what it actually is about. That means that the doctor, in most cases, like I said, it would be an abortionist at that point in time, would allow for, explain for a late-term abortion should they find out that the fetus might have malformation or some kind of other extraneous. One of it, which also falls underneath the aegis of my office, too, we're talking about children that are born with adaptive needs.
Sure.
If we could just have a dialogue with people that have these beautiful babies, that see them. I have a very dear friend who was in this situation 10 years ago, actually, after having already lost a child, but she brought to full term, who had trisomy 19, whose organs, intestines, etc., were born outside of the body. Mm-hmm. She had a priest with her the day that baby came into the world. She was going to deliver this baby because it was a human life. She didn't grow up thinking she was, this pro-life woman standing on a street corner holding signs. She just realized at the point at which she saw the ultrasound and saw a beating heart, she knew that she would do whatever God wanted for her to deliver this baby. They got to love that baby. They thought it would die that day. For 6 months, they love their little bird. They celebrate this baby every year. After that, she found out she was pregnant with a child with Downs. And, of course, the doctor said, of course, you've got to abort this baby. She said, no, not at all. This baby is now 10 years old, and he's precocious, and the joy, the gem of everyone's life. He is phenomenal, active. He's made his sacraments. This all falls underneath my office, too. We're not a throwaway culture. We're here to accompany you. We just want you to have the tools you need.
And in Christianity, which makes us unique, that we look to those who are the most weak and the most vulnerable, because the way that you treat those is going to affect the way you treat everybody else. So the ones who may not be able to do anything, like in philosophy, we make a distinction between ontology and functionality. So like the fact that you exist is important, and God loves you because you exist, even if you can't do anything or do much. And in our culture, we tend to value people by their function, what they can offer, what they can do.
Productivity,
right. And that's problematic because in the womb, there's not much you can do. Even a baby can't do all that much for you. I remember watching both my parents die in their old age and thinking, they're not really doing much right now. Mm-hmm. But they were my mom and they're my dad.
Yeah.
And they're human beings. And a culture of life, or a culture that goes against this throwaway culture that actually cherishes human life, is one that looks to protect the most vulnerable in society. And in this particular situation, we're talking about that life in the womb, which is another life. It's a human life. And the church has consistently been on the side of those lives that have been most vulnerable. So that's how all this comes together with this issue. And I think the reason we're talking about it this way is because all too often people will say, well, the Catholics are against abortion, but once the baby is born, they don't want to do anything. And your office is perfect evidence that that's not the case. So tell us a little bit about, like, what are those other things? You got Walking with Moms in Need. You got Zelly's Home.
Zelly's Home. There are so many times we've all heard that the Catholic Church says, you have to deliver the baby, but they're not there to help you. You know, I say it's one of our best-kept secrets, and by gosh, it's time that we let the secret out of the bag.
Tell it.
Our Catholic charity.
Preach.
No, I mean, if only people knew. And so part of what I want to do is to make sure that everybody hears. We are here, actually, by our baptismal call. We are called to walk with people from conception to natural death. People forget that. We as Christians actually do this. We walk with people. You talked about, real quick, I'll get back to the end of life, your mom and dad. Probably those that have experienced this have understood the impact and how beautiful walking with someone at the end of life is. Mm-hmm. Truly a blessing, truly a gift to usher them out of this life to meet their maker, but what it does to you. And that is the dignity of life. That is celebrating it. What we do for moms in need, yes, we are here to walk with you. Yes, once that baby is conceived, it has a completely different set of DNA. It is a separate human being. Yes, we are here to walk with the mom. We support women's rights. But as soon as that baby is conceived, there's two people involved. There's two people involved in any abortion as well. And one of them doesn't make it. And the other usually is the mom who ends up having difficulties. Our church, guess what? We found out our God is the most merciful God. Our church has beautiful programs to walk with women who have had abortions and experienced mm-hmm. abortions. They've helped them name their baby. They've helped them to forgive themselves. We're not saying we're not here for that. We are here with programs like Walking with Moms in Need. We don't want any woman that you see. It could be someone you talk to at a grocery store. Sally's Home is a perfect example of a maternity home, and they're popping up more and more. Bless the Lord, we were able to open up a second one over at Transfiguration Parish this past year. And no kidding about rooms being sold out. These are beautiful communities where pregnant women come together. They are educated. They are helped to get their GEDs. Perhaps it's post-grad work, college work. They are helped for financial literacy. They're helped to learn how to live in an environment, to healthily bring in a new baby. They're given parental teaching skills. They learn how to set up a home once they're out. They're not shoved out. They have up to 12 months and maybe even after if they need it. They find that they come back and work for them again. They want to spread the fact that, you know what, God is good and we have to be here for our sisters and brothers. These children are the happiest children. We're trying to stop the cycle that if you're in a crisis situation, there's no alternatives. We do have all sorts of pregnancy resources. I have traversed the whole county, the 8 counties of the Diocese of Cleveland over the past months and gotten to meet and be places I never even knew existed. And in each of those locations, every one of those counties, there's incredible resources. People want to help moms in need. They want to help families in need, grandparents. They have baby clothes. They have toddler classes. They'll watch, they'll babysit your child. They're going to be with you to help you if you need food, to watch your children if you need to go to an appointment, but to accompany you through those toddler years, through the grade school years, through high school, through life. Do you understand what I'm saying? We're here to accompany people through life, and we need to get that word out. Our Catholic Charities has all sorts of resources to help with education for kids, with anything. We've got the wherewithal and the means. All people need to do is, number one, reach out, but we need all the people in our communities to recognize this and greet people. We need to be a people of faith.
So go ahead, Mike.
I was going to say, before the show, we were sitting here talking, and we said, you know, we've solved a lot of our – we human beings try to solve a lot of the problems of the world by killing one another, you know, which is just awful, right? Mm-hmm. And those are the people we can see most of the time. You know, the people who get bombed in wars, you know, are usually civilians, you know, on both sides of the coin, right? You know, the countries, you know, the proportionality of weapons that we have now, you know, weapons come in and no one has the opportunity to protect themselves against this because the weapons are so strong. And we try to solve all of our problems by just getting rid of people, the easy way. And those are people we can see. Mm. You know, what chance does the little baby in the womb have that we can't see if we're doing this to people we can see?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, Mike, that goes all the way back to Cain and Abel, right? The first murder. Someone upsets you. How do you deal with it? Not reconciliation, not mercy, not forgiveness. You take somebody out. And isn't that what the Holy Father calls abortion? Contracting a hitman, yeah. And he said the same about a euthanasia too. So
I was gonna say, yeah, am I my brother's keeper? Yes, you
yes,
are.
Yes, you are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. The whole point of the story.
I could share one message. It is vote no, vote no. Here's something else I just want to share with people. So many calls that I have received, and I know we here at the diocese have received, pastors have received. People stop you on the streets, and they say, why is the Catholic Church involved in politics? This is a moral decision. It is not endorsing a political candidate. It does not concern our 501(c)(3) status. It doesn't affect us in any way. We are standing up for what we as a Catholic Church have always believed in, the sanctity of human life. And if your pastor, your priest, preaches it from the pulpit, support him. There have been so many people we've had trained to speak to the issues, to let people know about all the resources we do have.
That's great. Mary, thanks for all the work that you've been doing in this area. It's always great to have you here and
Thanks. Yeah. It's a joy and a pleasure to be able to share with people that we are here to walk with people, all of us. Right. I look at the two of you, and I know how you walk and accompany people through all of their lives. Even, and I know you've caught me before, the homeless people on the street.
That's it.
They need a hug. They matter, too. All of us are our brother's keepers.
And you don't ever get any phone calls of people giving you strong opinions on any of this, do you?
That's great. We'll give you an unlisted phone number from now on.
I do have one, and they still find me, and they still leave messages.
It's all right.
It's all good. I enjoy calling them back.
Well, all right. Thanks, Mary, for coming by, and we'll keep supporting you down the way here. Let's take a look at our church. Church, St. Peter's in North Ridgeville. It's a home parish of one of my classmates, Del Sherman.
Nice. I did a parish mission out there a few years back. Father Bob Franco is the pastor, and Father Isidore is the parochial vicar. It's one of the two communities that is the fastest growing in our entire diocese, North Ridgeville and Avon Lake. So that, when I was a kid, that was farmland.
Yeah.
And now it's the suburbs.
Wow.
Funny, this past Friday I was delivering signs, and I was out in that farmland. I was out there at North Ridgeville, Litchfield. Oh, my gosh, you're right about it being a fast-growing community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was there for 9 nights one time, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So St. Peter's Church in North Ridgeville, check them out. Lots of things going on, by the way. Saturday out in Akron at the Coventry Oaks Lodge, which is right near Firestone Park, we're going to have a faith and science conference talking a little bit about environmental protection. My dear friend Molly Burhans, who has the only digital map of the Catholic Church's entire land holdings, she'll be there along with a couple of other noted scientists from Ohio State. Father Dom Gideon is going to be there, talk a little bit about the Pope's documents on the environment. It'll be a lot of fun, so come on down. That'll be from 10 to 2. Register at theiteproject.com. There are partners on this, so the Ite Project with our good friend Brooke Roberts. They've put a lot of work together into this, and we got a lot of people registered already. There's over, I think, 70 people registered already, so we have enough room for a little over 100, so come on down.
I love the faith and science going together, and that's really important. People think the church is somehow not, doesn't hold those in harmony, and we're the ones who kind of invented that.
So. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And, all right, take a look at the daily readings. Where do you want to go, Father?
Well, the gospel. Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and Pharisees have taken their seat on the chair of Moses. Therefore, do and observe all things whatever they tell you, but don't follow their example." So the scribes and Pharisees were the religious leaders of the time. Jesus recognizes they have authority, but he also recognizes that they may not always be acting in a way that's exemplary. And so as a priest, one who is a religious authority of this time, I find these words indicting to me and I think to all who are in leadership positions within the church and ministry. So it's a good thing to check yourself before you wreck yourself, as someone once said. So make sure to stay honest in your ministry. If you consider yourself a good Catholic, that know that other people are looking to you, and that the example that you give can either bring them closer to Christ or push them away from the church. So this is constantly a reminder to me. It's a prophetic word.
I love the line, "They love places of honor at banquets, seats of honor in synagogues, greetings in marketplaces, and the salutation rabbi." I was teasing Miguel Chavez the other day. We went to the Alleluia Ball together with our wives. And I said, "You love seats of honor, banquets, Miguel." I go like that, and he goes, "Yes, but I have the back table." It's made me laugh. And we did. We were at table 75, which is the very back of the room.
That's all right. The last shall be first.
That's right. The last shall be first.
So true. I remember my number 7 is my autistic child. In second grade, his teacher came and stopped me, and she said, "Do you know, he ended up having to be at the end of the line as we went up for communion practice," and he just looked at me and he said, "Don't worry, Mrs. Ulrich, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. If we can always humble ourselves, and if we don't, God will."
Yeah, that's true.
You ain't kidding, right? Yeah. All right, so Mary Van Carlowitz, thanks for all the work you do, and thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I enjoy you too very much.
Yeah, back at you. And so we'll have all this and a whole lot more next time on Question of Faith.